Broadcast comes from Natural Gourmet. Natural Gourmet is a natural food store specializing in vitamin supplements, homeopathic remedies, and organic foods. Located at the Shops of Knollwood, their restaurant features Thai-influenced foods for eat-in or carry-out.
It's 12:37. Let's take a look now at the weather. The likelihood of heavy snow over central and southeastern Illinois is increasing for this weekend, and it appears likely that most of central and southeastern Illinois will see some accumulation of snow. The potential exists for several inches of snow to occur within the heavy snow band, but it's too early to predict where that heaviest snow band will set up. Expect rain or a mixture of precipitation to begin on Saturday with temperatures above the freezing mark. As the low pressure center tracks to the south of central Illinois, cold air will pour into the area and change the rain to snow late Saturday. The snow will be heavy at times Saturday night, then taper off on Sunday. Meanwhile, unseasonably cold air remains across the area today as the high pressure system slowly drifts to the southeast. A warming trend will develop for tomorrow and Friday and bring temperatures near average. This afternoon's forecast for east central Illinois, mostly sunny and cold, with a high of 22, the wind from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 9. The wind light and from the north, becoming easterly after midnight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, the high 30, the wind out of the south from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, near steady temperatures around 25. The wind out of the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny, the high 38, the wind out of the southwest from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly cloudy, the low 28. Saturday, rain or snow is likely. Look for a high of 38. Saturday night, snow likely. Several inches of accumulation are possible. The low 25. And the outlook for Sunday, colder with a good chance of snow. The high in the mid-20s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-teens to the upper 20s. At Chicago's O'Hare Airport, 20 degrees. Bloomington Normal reported 17. It was 16 in Danville, 28 in Effingham and Carbondale. At South Bend, 20 degrees. Lafayette and Indianapolis reported 19 degrees. Terre Haute checked in with 21. Evansville, 32. At Willard Airport, 17 degrees at the top of the hour. The dew point, 8. The wind was out of the west at 9, giving us a wind chill index of 6. The relative humidity, 68%. And the barometric pressure, 30.30 and falling. And at 12:40 Central Time, 20 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois under sunny skies.
When you donate appreciated stock you've held for more than a year, instead of selling it, you can save tax two ways. First, you avoid capital gains tax on the increase in value of your stock. Second, you receive a deduction for the full fair market value of the stock on the date you make the gift. I'm Donda Beard, and you can call me at WILL for more information about giving stock. Thanks for your support.
We're in the middle of the holiday shopping and shipping season. In fact, we'll soon be in the last-minute holiday shipping season. And UPS is now boosting security measures. NPR's Kathy Lohr has the story.
If you go to any UPS retail store, you'll have to verify your identity before you can ship a package.
It's a measure of public safety.
Susan Rosenberg is a spokeswoman for Atlanta-based UPS.
It's one more way that we can take an extra measure to know that the people that are presenting packages to us are who they say they are.
All retail outlets, including UPS stores and mailboxes, etc. locations, now require customers who ship packages to show IDs, such as a driver's license or passport. Rosenberg says the change is not directly related to an October incident when explosives were found in a printer cartridge on board an overseas UPS cargo plane headed for Chicago. But she says it's part of the shipping giant's ongoing security review.
Since October, we certainly sharpened our focus, but this is just one more enhancement that we can make to ensure the safety at our facilities, for our customers, for their packages that they're shipping, and for the communities where we operate.
Rosenberg says it's a prudent step, as retail outlets will see a significant increase in business during the peak season. UPS predicts it will deliver 430 million packages between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's a 7.5% increase over last year. Kathy Lohr, NPR News, Atlanta.
A battle between coal and natural gas is playing out in Colorado. Today, state regulators there are expected to vote on a plan by a local power company, Xcel Energy. It plans to shut down its old coal-fired plants and replace them with cleaner-burning natural gas. The state's coal industry is fighting that plan. Kurt Ziegler of member station KUNC has more.
Remote northwest Colorado is energy country. There's always been a lot of oil and gas drilling. And from here, looking out at the Trapper Mine outside of the town of Craig, it's clear that coal mining is also still big here. In fact, this is one of four coal mines in the area that help power the region.
I think the coal mines have just, they're stable.
Because we have a vast amount of coal reserves just right here in northwest Colorado.
Seated in their modest kitchen in Craig, Tisha and Doyle Mann say the natural gas companies have come and gone over the years. Many of this area's gas rigs recently moved to new finds in the northeast, so they feel lucky that Doyle has a steady job working underground at Peabody Coal's mine nearby.
This is our way of life, you know, that this is what we came to Craig for. It's made us a good living. It's made a good family. I hate to see, you know, any of that go away.
But the Manns worry it might. 200 miles away in Denver, a plan by one of the nation's largest utilities, Xcel Energy, could reduce demand for coal mined locally. Colorado's new Clean Air, Clean Jobs Act requires utilities to come up with plans to cut pollution from power plants.
The option of doing nothing was not an option.
Xcel spokesman Mark Stutz says the switch from coal to gas will finally bring Denver into compliance with federal air quality standards, cutting nitrogen pollution by more than 70%, according to the company. And even though a climate bill is basically dead, Stutz says the EPA could still write carbon regulation into the Clean Air Act as early as next year.
Doing it yourself in the way that you want to do it because you know your system's best to us seems infinitely preferable to have someone from the outside, the federal government, come in and say, this is how you're going to do it.
Environmentalists who have long fought to shut down coal-fired plants agree. Pam Kiley of the group Environment Colorado says the impacts to the state's coal industry will be negligible because most of Colorado's coal is exported. But she has a broader agenda.
What we're doing in Colorado is a preface to what will hopefully be a national transformation around our electricity sector. And is coal really the answer for the future?
What's going on in Colorado represents an important case study, I would say, if you were another utility watching it.
Revis James is an economist with the Washington, D.C.-based Electric Power Research Institute. He says utilities in states like Colorado, which have tough renewable energy mandates, are finding natural gas more and more appealing, because unlike coal, it can be brought online quickly when the wind stops blowing.
And also, the capital cost of building a new gas-fired power plant is generally lower, significantly lower than the typical size coal plant that you would build.
Xcel estimates power bills will rise by about 2% once the coal plants are shut down. Now, all of this is concerning to people like the Manns back in northwest Colorado. They worry of a domino effect if Colorado's ideas spread to other parts of the country. So fearing the worst, Tisha says this fall they cashed in some of their Peabody coal stock.
Made an extra house payment trying to get a pickup truck paid off so it doesn't hurt us so bad if we do get laid off.
We really don't have no plans on what else we could go do.
There may still be time to figure that out. Even if state utility regulators give the final nod today, the first coal plant won't be shut down for 7 more years. A lawsuit by coal-dependent counties in northwest Colorado could push that date back even further. For NPR News, I'm Kirk Ziegler.
When it comes to pint-sized entertainers, internet fame doesn't necessarily mean you'll be a star when you grow up. Brandon McFarland reports.
You've all heard of those child performers whose uber-involved parents are convinced their baby should be a star. YouTube is the perfect vehicle for that. Parents can just upload a video to YouTube of their kid's act. The cuter, the better.
You might be the one for me.
Exhibit A, Lil Peanut. This 7-year-old rapper has the swagger of a teen heartthrob and the manners of a southern gentleman. He's been rapping, singing, and dancing his way to millions of YouTube views, and recently made the leap to a daytime television cameo, performing on The Ellen Show.
You might be the one for me.
This kid has more charisma in his baby teeth than most people could ever dream of. Think Kittens on Tabletops meets Star Search. The challenge for young entertainers is sustaining a fan base that tends to outgrow them quickly. The careers of other young rappers like Lil Bow Wow and Lil Romeo went downhill after they hit 16. Jeff Rabhan, chair of the Clive Davis Department of Recorded Music.
Yeah, the 12-year-old girls that love the 15-year-old boys, when they turn 15, they don't love the 18-year-old boys. They love the 22-year-old boys.
Adults aren't as fickle as kids. That means it's a safer bet for a musical youth to go straight for an adult audience. Mini Daddy, age 9, specializes in reggaeton, a genre engineered for shaking your booty on the dance floor. In his music video, El Niño Más Bonito, he's outfitted with dark shades and platinum chains. He's even got 2 8-year-old girls in cut-off shorts dancing behind him. And he's earned 4.5 million views on YouTube. I don't know what the kid sang out of those chubby cheeks, but the shock value of watching him puts him right up there next to the chain-smoking toddler. But the flame of those viral videos is usually short-lived. A word to aspiring musicians. Becoming a novelty almost guarantees the next effort will flop. It's a laughing at you, not with you kind of thing. Here you are thinking you've arrived. And to your so-called fans, you're a spectacle. And when they stop laughing, your 15 minutes of fame are over. People will look at anything on YouTube, but there needs to be a strategy in place to catapult an amazing talent. Like Willow Smith, actors Will and Jada Smith's 10-year-old daughter. Little Willow, due in large part to her inherited celebrity, is the only kid that has a reliable shot at longevity right now. But Lil Peanut and Mini Daddy have a foot in the door and more fans than they started with. Now they just need to maintain the hustle that goes with that flow. For NPR News, I'm Brandon McFarland.
WILO programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 8th of December, 2010. It's the birthday of Horace, the Roman poet Quintus Horatius Flaccus, born in Venusia in southern Italy in 65 BC. Horace fought on the losing side of the